I'm excited to kick off our new series, Fan or Follower. It's going to be good. I want to give a little credit. The idea for this actually came from a pastor named Kyle Eidelman, and he has a series called Not a Fan, which I haven't read the book, but I've seen him teach on YouTube, and it's a similar idea. It's kind of where I got the idea, and it's if this is something that you like, then I encourage you to check that out. So we're going to be talking about part one here, Biggest Fan is the name of the sermon this morning. Fan or Follower, part one, Biggest Fan. I'm going to be asking you the question, are you a fan of Jesus or are you a follower of Jesus? And, you know, we had our Biggest Fan contest today, and it was great fun. I actually heard a story once about the Biggest Fans. It was actually an Alabama fan, a Georgia fan, an FSU fan, and a Florida fan were all climbing a mountain together, and they were arguing about who loves their team more and who the biggest fan was. So the Bama fan insists that he is the most loyal. So he goes, "This is for the Crimson Tide," he yells, and he jumps off the side of the mountain. We're not the brightest bunch, but we're very loyal. Not to be outdone, because Georgia is usually just behind Alabama, the Georgia fan shouts, "This is for the dogs," and jumps off the side of the mountain. And so the FSU fan realizes it's his turn now, so he yells, "This is for everyone," and he pushes the Gator fan off the mountain. That's a true fan right there. Let's pray as we get started. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we can have fun and we can also honor you at the same time. Father, we place all of our worship squarely on you. Lord, we give you all of our attention, all of our affection, and we thank you, Lord, for being good to us, and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So I want to talk about the biggest fan this morning, and being a really big fan can be a good thing, but a lot of times it's actually a bad thing, and I'll explain that as I go on. But they're actually, when it comes to both our sports teams and when it comes to following Christ, there are really three types of people that would consider themselves Christians, okay? And the first one, and we'll go ahead and put it up behind us, the first one is the secret admirer. The secret admirer. Now, maybe you guys remember when you were in grade school and you had that crush on someone, right? And you thought, maybe they're just a little bit outside of my league. So I'm just going to kind of keep this to myself. And the girls would draw pictures of the guy's name and put, you know, their first name and his last name. And if you were really brave, you would do the do you like me check yes or no note. Did anyone send those? Yeah, yeah. How did that go for you? Not so good? If you have to have a friend deliver a do you like me note, it's not going to end well, okay? Usually it needs to be obvious. But so, you know, we've usually either had a secret admirer or have been a secret admirer at one point. And, you know, Jesus actually had a secret admirer, and we read about him in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. His name was Nicodemus, and if you want to turn there with me, John 3, we're just going to read the first two verses here. John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. It says, "There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee." Okay, first of all, so this guy was actually a part of the Sanhedrin, okay, which was the governing council of the Jews, and he was a Pharisee. So dude knew his stuff. All right, this is not just like I'm a Jewish person. Like, he knew this stuff. He had the first five books of the Bible memorized since he was a young child. He was actually on the governing board. We actually know from history that he was probably a really, really wealthy guy. There was a legend that said that he could actually, his personal wealth could sustain all of Israel for 10 years. All right, so this is a Bill Gates type dude here, okay? And he's really influential and really powerful, okay? Look at verse 2. After dark, when his friends weren't around, after dark, when he wouldn't get caught, he came to speak with Jesus. "Rabbi," he said, "we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you." Jesus begins and he continues and he preaches to him, and it's an awesome message. I encourage you to go back and read it. And it's actually John 3:16 is a part of Jesus' answer to Nicodemus about God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We're not going to read the whole thing this morning, but I want you to understand is that Nicodemus was a secret admirer. Nicodemus was a secret admirer. He had seen Jesus. He had seen Jesus do, all the miracles and the signs. And he said, "Hey, look, verse 2, he said, we all know God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you." And he called him Rabbi, which means teacher. He didn't call him Savior. He didn't call him Messiah. He called him Rabbi, right? Which means teacher. So he was saying, "Look, Jesus, you're an awesome teacher. You're a great teacher. All right, but I'm only going to talk to you after dark once everyone's in their home. And I'm not going to call you Messiah. You can be a teacher, but at a distance." And secret admirers keep to themselves. They have affection for someone or something, but they make no effort to show it, usually for fear. Usually they're afraid that they'll be rejected. That's why we passed the note, right, in second grade. Usually it's for fear of being rejected by the object of our affection, or it's for fear of what people think. I'm a secret admirer with some people, with some things. I mean, to go back to football, if I got to be honest, I have a confession as an Alabama fan. I really, really, I like Johnny Manziel, the guy from A&M. Some of y'all are checking out. You're like, who? He won the Heisman last year. He completely destroyed Alabama. He was incredibly impressive and won the number one award for college football. It's not going so well for him right now. But, I'm kind of a secret admirer of his. I mean, I'm not going to wear his jersey, but I root for him. I want him to do well. And he's had some off-season problems. And it really kind of upset me. I'm like, man, he's got so much potential. So he's a good example of a secret admirer. What we don't want to do is we don't want to become a secret admirer of Christ. We don't want to say, yeah, Jesus is a great teacher. Yeah, the things that he said are really good, or is good teaching. And yeah, you can, he was pretty cool. And then keep it to ourselves. I don't want you to leave this place this morning as a secret admirer of Jesus. He's worthy of your open affection. Here's your takeaway from this. A secret admirer only thinks about the object of their affection. And that's as far as it goes. A secret admirer only thinks about the object of their affection. So we don't want to be that, do we? We don't. All right, the second group we're going to talk about this morning are the fans of Jesus. And you see this, there's a chapter in John. We're going to kind of pick and choose a little bit here for the sake of time. But if you want to turn to John chapter 6, and we're going to see some fans of Jesus. So John chapter 6, we're going to read verses 1 and 2 just to kind of get the idea. "After this, Jesus crossed over to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went because they saw the miraculous signs as he healed the sick." So Jesus has got a bunch of people, huge crowd, not just a small group. I mean, the massive crowd is following him. Of course they are. I mean, he's like healing the sick. He's doing all kinds of miraculous stuff, okay? Got a lot of people. And you're going to see in just a moment that most of them are simply fans, not followers. All right, let's skip down. Let's go to verse 25. Well, I'll tell you, in between here, so he feeds the 5,000. We actually know there are 5,000 guys. There are 5,000 men there. There are probably even more women and children, so you could probably even double the number. So he feeds them all. We're going to go to verse 25. So he crosses to the other side, and that's when Jesus walks on the water, okay? In verse 25, they found him on the other side of the lake, and they asked him, "Rabbi," again, they're calling him teacher, not Messiah, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Verse 26, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, you want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. You want to be with you because I fed you. See, a fan likes what Jesus does for them, but doesn't do anything for Jesus. They are takers, but they're not givers. Okay, so let's skip down again. So Jesus, they say, he says, you only want me because I fed you. And then he says, I am the bread of life. All right, that's verse 35. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. All right, then, and they keep asking him questions. And then finally, verse 53. So Jesus says again, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise that person on the last day. Whoa. All right, now Jesus has gone off his rocker. He's no longer just saying, I'm the bread of life. He's like, you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. All right, that's pretty weird. If I stood up in front of you and said, hey, everyone, take a bite. That'd be kind of weird, all right? It's awkward phrasing. It's a weird way to say it. But what he was doing is he was separating the fans from the followers. Because look what happened. Verse 66 of John chapter 6. At this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him. They were just fans. They weren't followers. They were just seeing what they could get from Jesus. As long as he was feeding them, as long as he was taking care of them, as long as he didn't get too weird and interfere too much, they were on board. But once it got a little bit out of their comfort zone, they're out. It says they deserted him. They didn't even say, hey, Jesus, hey, we're going to see you later. They just left. They were gone. See, during a sporting event, the fans are separate from the players, aren't they? They just sit and watch. They keep their distance. They may cheer, they may dress up, they may enjoy the show, but they aren't actually on the team. It's a big difference being a fan and being a follower. As a Christian who loves God, you will be tempted to be Jesus' biggest fan and his biggest fan alone. And that's a problem. That's a really big problem. God doesn't need fans. He needs followers. He doesn't want fans. And you can cheer for him. You can defend him. You can rally around him. But you have a greater calling than to be a fan of Jesus. Imagine this, okay? Imagine, I don't know who, whatever your favorite team is. Let's just imagine you have one. and the star quarterback, he's worked his entire offseason to become the best quarterback in the game, right? He's lifted weights. He's done the drills. He's done everything that he needs to do. Gone to all the practices, spent hours watching game film, learning his opponent's strategies. First game of the season, Saturday morning, he gets up. He goes to the parking lot and starts tailgating with his friends. He paints himself, puts on war paint, and takes off his shirt and puts a big letter on there. He gets in the stands, kickoff. No one can find him. He's in the stands. He's cheering on the team when they need him on the field. Wouldn't that be awful? Wouldn't that be such a waste of his talents? Wouldn't that be such a waste of his giftings and his callings? He went through all that work. So much was done. And then he just sat in the stands and cheered instead of played. Don't we do that? Don't we do that sometimes? God has paid the ultimate price for you. It's the blood of Jesus. And he said, hey, I want you on my team. But sometimes all we're doing is we're just sitting in the stands and cheering on Jesus. He's like, I need you to play. Each of you, every single one of you has giftings. Every single one of you has a calling and a destiny in him. And we don't need to sit on the sidelines, folks. We need to get in the game, amen. Here's your takeaway. A fan says that they want their side to be victorious, but does nothing to affect the outcome. A secret admirer thinks, a fan says, but they don't do. For a fan, Jesus is one of many. He's not one and only. For a fan, Jesus isn't allowed to interfere with what's going on in their lives. He says, hey, you've got unforgiveness against someone. Jesus wouldn't do that. He isn't allowed to interfere with convenient sin in our lives, right? So, man, I love Jesus. Jesus is great. Well, you know he told you that you aren't allowed to sleep with someone you're not married with. Oh, really? Jesus wants me to be happy, man. He wants me to be happy, right? A fan doesn't allow him to interfere. Jesus does want you to be happy. So that's why he said, don't sleep with anyone you're not married to. Because he loves you, and it's just going to cause problems. Amen? So that's the difference between a fan and a follower. A fan doesn't let him interfere with their entertainment choices. I mean, they'll do whatever they want to, and they'll act, you know, like a big fan at church, and they'll come, you know, they'll have the sticker on their car, and the bumper sticker, wear the t-shirt, they'll listen to only Christian music. But then when it comes to, well, this is my time, I do what I want. That's just what a fan does. A fan is guarded and keeps Jesus at bay from the hard parts. Y'all thought this was going to be fun this morning, didn't you? And I'm sitting here bringing it. Hey, look, I love you enough to tell you the truth. I do. God has stuff for you to do. He loves you. But a fan only says that they want their team to win. They don't affect the outcome. Don't you want to affect the outcome? Don't you want to have a role to play in the kingdom of God? Yeah, so does he. So does he. But he wants to partner with you. And he wants you to take part in a spiritual growth process so you can not just be a fan, but you can be a follower. Amen? So now we come to followers. I want to show you, we're already in John 6. So the last thing in verse 66, it says, at this point, many disciples turned away and deserted Jesus. Verse 67, then Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, are you also going to leave? This is the 12. This is inner circle, all right? These are his bros, all right? Are you also going to leave? Simon Peter, I love it. Verse 68, Simon Peter says, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. We believe and we know you're the Holy One of God. See, they didn't just call him rabbi. They didn't just call him teacher. They said, you're the Messiah. You're the Messiah. We aren't going anywhere. We may not understand what you're talking about with us eating your flesh and drinking your blood. That's kind of weird, Jesus. It's a little weird. But you know what? What are we going to do? Where else are we going to go? We've tasted your goodness. We've seen you. And we're here. We're lifers. Turn to Luke chapter 9. And this is the verse that's on your bulletin. This is how we become a follower. This is how we move from fan to follower. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Let's also read 24. It says, then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Y'all have heard that before. Take up your cross and follow me, right? You've heard that phrase before. What does that mean, to take up your cross? Well, it's not literally. We don't need to all go out and start building crosses and carrying them around town, right? The cross is a symbol of your burdens. It's a symbol of shame. It's a symbol of what's hard. It's a symbol of death. It's a symbol of all these things that are hard. You know, Jesus was saying this, they didn't even know he was going to be carrying his cross to his own death. So they say, take up your cross. Keep going. Take it up. Don't stop. Don't stop moving. See, if you take up your cross, let's say you're walking along the path of righteousness, right? You're following the Lord. Then all of a sudden, boom, you come in contact with a major deal. I don't know, maybe your wife or your husband don't want to be married to you anymore. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe you've been dealt a really bad blow from the doctor and said, look, you've only got so long to live. You have this disease. Whatever it is, and you hit that awful, miserable burden that we all go through in life. Fans will stop at that point. But a follower picks up the cross and carries the cross. And does it daily. I'd love to tell you, you just have to do it once and then you're good, but you got to do it daily. Isn't that what it says? It says, pick up your cross daily and follow me. You keep following me. You don't let the burdens of life stop you. You keep going. This is what Jesus did literally when he was carrying his cross. He fell. Right? He fell. What did he do? He got back up. For a season, God made it so someone else carried his cross for him as an act of mercy. And God will do that for you too. But you've got to make the decision, I'm going to carry my cross. I'm going to carry it. I'm not going to let it stop me from walking the path that he's called me to. Amen? Amen. Lucy, I think Debbie has it, the Auburn. How many Auburn fans do we have here? All right, a handful. That's awesome. Represent. You know, Auburn won the national championship a few years ago, and does anyone remember the phrase that they used? You shouldn't know that. You're a Bama fan. No, that's he's right. The phrase was all in. Do y'all remember hearing that or seeing that? We're all in. We're all in. That was their phrase. They're like, hey, we're all in. We're a family. We're together. We're doing this. It doesn't matter what the obstacles are. We're doing this. I make the decision. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. We're all in. And that's what they said. And it was an amazing season for them. It was an amazing season for them. They came back so many times during their regular schedule, their season. I mean, they were beaten. Many games, I mean, they were beaten. It was like, all right, go ahead, turn off the cameras, and let's go. But they were all in. They were all in. They weren't leaving. They weren't done until the final whistle blew. I'll never forget, one time we were at an Alabama game, and we were playing Arkansas. And this is before Coach Saban showed up, so we were just mediocre. And we were playing Arkansas, and they were just killing us. I don't remember how many years this was. They were killing us. It was miserable. And it wasn't because they were so good. It was one of those games, and if you're a big fan of a team, you know, it's one of those games where your team just stunk. It's not that the other team was real good. You're like, I know you can play better than this. Please, you're yelling at your TV, right? You're doing that kind of thing. It was that kind of game. I mean, they were so much better. They could have won, and it was awful. It was at Tuscaloosa. They were getting beat by a team that wasn't as good as them. And on top of that, it was pouring rain. Y'all remember this? It was awful. It was just the most miserable experience. And like the beginning of the fourth quarter, Dad's like, all right, we're out of here. We're leaving. We're leaving. And I was like, thank you. Yes. You know, soaked to the bone. It was not a good experience. And I remember as we were leaving, there was a lady who was sitting there just resolute. I don't know if you remember her or not. She was just sitting there resolute. And as we turned the corner to go down, you know, out of the stadium, exit the stadium, Dad says, it wasn't hardly worth coming for, was it? And you remember what she said? She goes, I will always stand by my team. Yes, ma'am. Let's go. Hurry. Come on. Let's go. I was like, Dad, don't listen to her. Come on. Keep going. We can stand by them in the car. But man, I've never forgotten that. I remember thinking, that lady's crazy. I mean, she was resolute. She was all in. I mean, it was... A fair weather friend would have just given up. And literally, it was bad weather. She was a bad weather friend, and she was staying. And that's how we need to be, guys. Look at 1 John. Look at 1 John chapter 2. I'm going to step on your toes a little bit. If I haven't already, go ahead and get ready. Just curl them up a little bit just to soften the blow. 1 John chapter 2. We're going to read 3 through 6. What's up with me and water bottles? I just try to drink it with the top on. Or at least I didn't try to. Alabama fan. I go for Bama. Roll Tide. At least I didn't try to speak into it. Yet. This time. So 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 through 6, it says, "And we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. If someone claims, 'I know God,' but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar." Ouch! "And is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That's how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did." Here's your takeaway for the follower. Secret admirer thinks, a fan says, a follower does the things that the person they are following does. They do. It's one thing to think, it's one thing to say, but it's another thing to do. Now, I encourage you, I want you to be Jesus' biggest fan. Dress up, wear the t-shirt, buy the bumper sticker, whatever you need to do to declare to the world that you're in love with Jesus, go for it, but only do it if you're going to back it up with your actions. Don't dare play the role and add another number to the number of hypocrites in the church. Let's not do that. You can be a biggest fan. That's awesome. But it's only once you're his biggest follower. When you're a fan without being a follower, you're just making noise. You're just making noise and confusing people who are genuinely interested in what it's like to follow Christ. So my question to you this morning, and as we continue this series, which hopefully y'all will come back for next week, my question for you is, why are you here? I mean, why are you here at church? Or maybe you're visiting and you go to another church. Why do you do that? Why do you go there? Are you here to root for Team Jesus? Are you here to rally together and have our little pep rally once a week? Are you here, or are you here to receive instructions on how to play the game? Are you here to say, I'm a follower, and I'm not just going to think and say, I'm going to do. And here's where I find out what the play is going to be. Here's where I work on my skills. Here's where I hone my skills. Here's where I have a community and a family that loves me and is going to walk with me through my spiritual growth process. As we end, y'all remember Nicodemus, secret admirer? Do you know what happened with him? You can read this if you want. In John chapter 7 and verse 50, the Pharisees are trying to kill Jesus, and Nicodemus speaks up and goes, "Don't kill him." In John chapter 19, verse 39, Jesus is dead, and he goes and he pours spices and he embalms him and he anoints him for his burial. Nicodemus went from secret admirer to follower. And if you're here this morning, and maybe you've been a secret admirer, maybe your whole life you've attended church, you've sung the songs, you might even listen to Christian radio, but you've never shared him. You always come to him at night. You're a Sunday morning Christian only. And you're a secret admirer. Look, just stop it and declare your intentions of becoming a follower of Christ. This morning's your morning. Maybe you've been a fan. Maybe you've said, look, I can respect Jesus. I like what he gives me. He gives me eternal life. I really like it when, you know, I feel good when I feel the songs. And I like being a part of that Christian culture and all that. You know, I feel like it's right. But Jesus, don't go prying into my private business. Jesus, don't get into my heart. Don't get in those deep parts. And don't dare try to make me do something that I don't want to do. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you've been a fan. Maybe you've just been a fan of Jesus. You've worn the shirt and you've rooted and you've hollered, but you've never made him boss. It's time this morning to become a follower. Maybe you're a follower. Maybe you're like, hey, I follow Jesus, man. Whatever he says, I do. You know, you can be a follower, but you can begin to shrink back and not be a fan. See, being a fan's great as long as you're a follower. Maybe you're a follower and you need to begin to speak out. You need to begin to share. Wherever you are this morning, God does not condemn you. He loves you. He knows where you are. You're just realizing it right now, but he knew already. And he still loves you, and he still calls you, and he still has a job for you to do. He has a position for you to play. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up.